So before I jump into automated case detection of sexually transmitted diseases, I'd like to just take a few moments to talk about the current state of case reporting, and that includes electronic lab reporting. So the typical scenario is you have a clinical encounter with a patient in a clinical setting that may have an electronic health record system. A specimen is collected and sent to a laboratory, which may have a laboratory information system. That LIMS will then generate an electronic lab report, and whether it's positive or negative, send the result back to the ordering physician at the clinic. If it's positive, it may generate an electronic lab report to public health. And then back on the clinical side, we hope that the clinician generates a public health case report, but that may or may not happen, and it may take various forms if it does happen. And then in certain jurisdictions, these transactions may involve a health information exchange. But I think, as many of you know, ELRs typically from labs typically lack a lot of the demographic information a public health agency will need for some kind of case follow-up or investigation. And oftentimes, clinicians don't report cases when they encounter them. So the hope is that, and I'll start using the preferred phrase, the hope is that electronic case reporting from electronic health records will improve both surveillance completeness and representativeness of the case reports. So again, I'm with the Public Health Informatics Institute. It's a nonprofit based in Atlanta. We're affiliated with Emory University. We have a cooperative agreement with the CDC. And through that cooperative agreement, we have this project through the Division of STD Prevention. And the high-level goal is to advance electronic case reporting for STDs. In the short term, what we wanted to do was get a better sense of what the current state of existing EHR-based case reporting implementations are doing, and then use that to plan further activities. And for scoping purposes, we focused on chlamydia and gonorrhea. For many of us in public health, we're learning more and more about what electronic health record systems are. Many of us haven't had as much experience with these systems as our colleagues on the clinical side. And it's just worth keeping in mind what an EHR might or might not be as we think about things like electronic case detection. Depending on the clinical practice, if it's a large clinical practice, it may have multiple subsystems that share information with a central clinical data repository or clinical data warehouse. And then the end user might get a view of that data through the application itself, the graphical user interface, which may provide some functionality that the clinician finds useful. And that function, an example is clinical decision support. And a decision that might be supported is whether or not a case should be reported to public health. That decision support might be coded into the EHR itself, or perhaps, maybe more ambitiously, it could be provided as a third-party service that exists outside the EHR, and the EHR might reach out to it. And perhaps it's even a third-party service that's offered by public health. We'll see. These things are evolving. So back to the project, we wanted to find some sites that have actually implemented something like this for STDs, better understand how they're actually doing it, and then make some recommendations about how we might proceed. More specifically, we wanted to know for these existing implementations, what were the actual coded values, or you'll hear various phrases, but what were the actual codes or the trigger codes or the value sets used to generate these case reports, and were they based on any standard vocabularies? Do these vocabulary sets or trigger codes align with reporting criteria, such as criteria you might find in a CSTE position statement, for example? And there's other artifacts, that, you know, like the reportable conditions mapping table that we might get into in a discussion. And then finally, what were the actual data elements included in the case report, and how were they formatted? Did that also conform to a standard or not? So this is a graphical representation of chlamydia reporting criteria, and I just kind of want to go from left to right here. So you've got the condition for according to CDC and CSTE criteria, we're really for chlamydia, we're only really confirmed with interested in confirmed cases. The CDC case criteria, if you look it up online, there's two criterion, isolation by culture or some lab test. And then the CSTE position statement is a little more fine-grained with and it actually lists out four specific lab tests. And a positive on any of those five lab tests, culture or the four non-culture tests, would be a positive case for chlamydia. There's, according to the reportable conditions mapping table, which is something that I think CSTE and CDC developed some years ago, it's a list of all the LOINC and SNOMED codes. These are some of the standard code sets that are used. There's 346 LOINC codes and 20 SNOMED codes for chlamydia in that document, in that tool. But it's not clear which codes specifically map to which tests, or at least it's that data's there. But it's I think from a user perspective, it's not that clear how those two how this table and the RCMT are aligned. So what we wanted to do was get a better understanding of the codes used for those criteria, whether they're LOINC, SNOMED, or something else. And here's a similar table for gonorrhea, same concept, but with gonorrhea there's two classes of case report, probable and confirmed, with microscopy as the case criteria for a probable case. But again, the same question: what codes are used, and what criteria are being represented? So our approach was to work through state agencies and then local agencies and then maybe clinical entities to find these implementations. And with that approach, we found two partners to work with, the Massachusetts Department of Public Health and Denver Health. In Massachusetts, there's a couple large healthcare systems that have implemented something called EHR Support for Public Health, or ESP. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. But it's designed to be a tool that could be implemented in any electronic health record system, any clinical setting that's using an EHR. In Denver, we worked with Denver Health, which is a safety net provider for the Denver area, and it includes Denver Public Health and Denver Public Health's STD clinic, the Denver Metro Health Clinic. And they have a custom or homegrown electronic health record system they call HealthDoc, which automatically detects and sends STD case reports to the Colorado State Health Department. So real quickly, here's the data flow for these two systems, starting with Denver. You've got the Denver Metro Health Clinic, which specializes in STD prevention. It'll send a specimen to the Denver Health Lab, which is the central lab for Denver Health. There, the test request is encoded with a local code, and I've got an example there for chlamydia and gonorrhea test by nucleic acid amplification. And I'm using CT and NG as an abbreviation for chlamydia and gonorrhea. That may not be the preferred abbreviation for those conditions. I apologize if it's confusing. So if the LIMS looks at local LIMS trigger codes to decide whether or not to send an ELR to the state, and if it does, this is the top path, if it does find a positive case, it will then map that local code to a corresponding LOINC code, the standard code that represents that test, and then include that standard LOINT code in the ELR to the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. But back at the clinical setting, if the LIMS will return both positive and negative results to the physician at the Denver Metro Health Clinic and the EHR there, health doc, again using local codes, and the health doc EHR in Denver Metro Health Clinic then uses those local codes to decide whether or not to send a case report to public health. And there's an example there. Now, all right, let me switch gears and talk about Massachusetts. And in Massachusetts, I think it'll be helpful to keep in mind that this ES, they've got a few healthcare providers that have implemented this ESP, so this diagram might be a little more generalized. And it starts with the laboratory itself. If it gets and this could be any lab in Massachusetts, but for this example, we'll pretend it's one that's associated with a clinic that's using ESP. That lab will send an ELR to the state, and this could be any ELR, so maybe they're using local or standard codes. The Massachusetts Department of Public Health Gateway will then, as necessary, map any local codes to LOINTs and SNOMEDs according to a table it has. And then for STDs, send case reports to their MAVEN surveillance system. Going back to the clinical side, the lab will send both positive and negative results back to the healthcare facility using local or standard codes as they, you know, whatever their practice is. And then this is where ESP comes in. So for ESP users in Massachusetts, it's a standalone application that basically receives a daily batch extract, transfer, and load process from the EHR. So every day in these sites in Massachusetts, the EHR, regardless of what it is, basically just generates a report of all the encounters for that day. And as they're processed into ESP, they local codes are transferred to standard codes. And then there's an algorithm in ESP that looks for standard codes that match the case reporting criteria. And when it finds one, will then send a case report to the gateway. Those case reports generated by ESP are based on HL7 version 2 messages. And then once they hit the gateway, they kind of follow that same path, and STDs will end up in that MAVEN surveillance system. So we took a look at the codes used by ESP to generate case reports for chlamydia and gonorrhea. There were six of them, and they're listed there. They reflect three different types of lab procedures. And again, because Denver Health is reporting, their triggers are based on local codes, but the lab will then append the corresponding LOINC. For comparison's sakes, I've included the LOINC that Denver Health uses, so you can kind of see the difference between what ESP and Denver Health are doing. Denver Health also, the lab at Denver Health also uses a generic LOINC for a culture test, so it doesn't really indicate what specific pathogen was identified. It just indicates that one was identified, and in those reports it includes a SNOMED code as well, and that's the code that indicates which particular disease was detected. And then I guess it's worth noting that they're not reporting anything that's outside the CSTE criteria for case reporting. And then a similar table for gonorrhea. So then Massachusetts was kind enough to provide a list of that list of LOINCs and SNOMEDs they use in their gateway system. It's basically analogous to the reportable conditions mapping table, which is this more national product. And we wanted to kind of compare what, you know, what the scope of those lists were. So we looked at RCMT, which for chlamydia, RCMT includes 346 codes for chlamydia. Massachusetts includes 17, and ESP includes 6. And I don't think this Venn diagram's to scale, but the all 6 of the ESP codes are reflected in RCMT. There's 2 MDPH codes that are outside RCMT, but those are generic LOINCs that would be sent with a clarifying SNOMED code. Similarly, for gonorrhea, there's 86 LOINCs total across all 3 tables. 83 in RCMT, 15 in MDPH, and 4 in ESP. So basically what we found is that there are very few EHR-based STD case detection implementations. Those that are out there are using, they're based on local codes, or they may be, those value sets may be specifically optimized or limited to the particular clinical practice of those settings. And they're continuing to use HL7 version 2, it may be a constraint on an ORU, but it's basically a non-standard case report in terms of the interoperability standards we're familiar with, I think. So again, this was the beginning of a collaboration between the CDC STD Prevention Division and PHII. So going forward, here's the recommendations that at least PHII is making, and we're negotiating next steps with the CDC STD team. But if you've been here yesterday, today's Monday, so if you were here yesterday, you may be getting a sense about electronic case reporting and how vital it is. And it's important for this work to be aligned with the broader effort related to electronic case reporting. And there's plenty of projects going on. I've included, I mentioned RCKMS, the Reportable Conditions Knowledge Management System, Meaningful Use Stage 3, Structured Data Capture, CDA, and the Public Health Community Platform. If you don't know about those things, I encourage you to seek out sessions on them. They're here now. I think in the short term, we need to bring together some STD SMEs to build out these value sets, and we can share those with these other initiatives. But as we do that, I think we need to consider, you know, how fine-grained these value sets need to be, and we need to think about how easy they are going to be to implement. Regarding these other initiatives I mentioned earlier, I think they're relatively sophisticated compared to ELRs, where you're basically just firing off a report based on a relatively simple list of trigger codes. And I'm wondering if something like that might be more feasible in the short term, and maybe the approach we should consider for meaningful use stage 3. So yesterday, Jim Daniel, during a related session, asked, you know, he encouraged us to start thinking about approaches that would meet the spirit, I think, of the Stage 3 Notice for Proposed Rulemaking, and I'm suggesting maybe something similar, an approach similar to ELRs. I'm wondering if that would be good enough for Stage 3. I'd like to acknowledge these folks. I worked with a lot of people on this project, both at CDC, Massachusetts, and Denver, PHII, and the Reportable Conditions Knowledge Management System. They've been very gracious. Our work is very similar. I mean, they're trying to do this type of thing for all reportables. We're focused on STD, but they've been very, very helpful. I look forward to working with them some more. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there questions?
We might have time for one question, if anybody has one. You want to go to the mic?
Hi, Judy Kara from Illinois.
Hi.
We started thinking about STD as a registry for stage two. We get in Illinois 70,000 STD cases a year for dysmenorrhea and chlamydia. So managing those manually, each one, is just unrealistic. So my hope is with case reporting, we don't replicate ELR. We're going to go ahead and let those labs come in. What we need is the treatment data.
Right.
And so that's the thing we're really struggling with now. We're doing a pilot project at Stroger Hospital. But that, what you would think would be very easy, the treatment isn't coming in very structured. It's all muddled together with the name of the treatment, the dosage, the frequency, all of that we need. But it's all, I'm just baffled by how unstructured and unfocused that data are.
Right. Right, yeah.
Just curious about what, if there's been some thought about how to get those data.
Well, thank you. So I should point out that both those implementations I described are sending treatment data along with those case reports. But I'm not sure how standardized it is. And, you know, I'm not intimately familiar with the CDA transition of care document or some of the other standard documents that might be used as the basis for a case report, but I have to assume that they are designed to include that treatment history in a structured way. So part of this effort is defining what the STD case report and really any, you know, reportable disease case report needs to look like. And I think we're coming to an agreement, I think, that it ought to be a limited set of data elements, but treatment history should be one of those, and it needs to be structured to be really useful.
Okay.